This is a Chazar Hashir for the daily Mishnah Berurah Halacha Yomit group. It should be learned as a Refuah Shlema for Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Bat Yishav Refuah Shlema Behera Petoch Shar Chalei Israel, starting with Simen Chaf Ches. Simen Chaf Ches Seif Aleph Chayav Adam LaMashmesh B'Tfilin B'Chol Shah Shalei Yaseich Da'atom Hem. A person needs to be touching his tefillin seemingly consistently and constantly so that he doesn't misiach das from them. He's always focused on them. V'mashmesh b'shal yad chila. He should do whenever he's touching them. He should do the shal yad first. Mr. Brewer points out because it's closer to be touched. Uk shiomar k'sharta lo taledecha. Y'mashmesh b'shal yad. Shiomar v'etel tefos b'nilecha. Y'mashmesh b'shal rosh. And when you say the psukim in kriyashma that correspond to those parshas of the tefillin, then they should be touched as well. The Mishnah Berurah points out, that while you're in the middle of davening, be'esat tefillah in sarach hamashmish b'hem, during davening you don't have to, because mistam you're focusing on davening and that's sufficient. The Shari Tshuva quotes from the Shem Gurei Ha'ari that during learning also, a person does not have to be touching them, but can focus on davening and learning. Sif beis, tefillin shal rosh cholitz tchila mishum lechti v'ayil tatofot b'nenecha, kolz manch b'nenecha yu shtayim. When removing the tefillin shel rosh should be removed first, because when it says v'hayu l'tefillin b'nenecha v'hayu b'havayas on Yehud, whenever they're there, they should be b'kol eshiyu yu shtayim. They should always be there. You should always have two. So if you're gonna, when the tefillin shel rosh should only be on the head when you have the tefillin shel yaron, so they should be removed. They should be removed first. Mishnah Berurah points out that's only after you remove the three straps, the three windings around the finger, and then the shel rosh should be removed. Shulchan Aruch continues. Sarach lachol tefillin shel rosh meumad v'yaneich batik shel rosh ve'alav shel yad kedei sheyavo la'anicham yifka b'shel yad chila. The tefillin shel rosh should be removed standing. It sounds like the tefillin shel yad should be removed sitting, and indeed that's the practice of Sardim who put the tefillin shel yad on bedavka. Kafachaim quotes seated al pi kabbalah. The Rama points out though that Ashkenazi minhag is to put on the tefillin shel yad standing also, and therefore it should be removed standing. Shulchan Aruch continues that you should put the tefillin shel rosh under the tefillin shel yad, so that when you remove it the next day, the tefillin shel yad should be removed first. So if you have this vertical type of a tick of tefillin, so the first only one you can touch should be the tefillin shel yad. And then he quotes maybe if you have them next to each other, which seems to be more common nowadays, that tefillin shel yad should be on the right, so they can always know where to find them. It seems that the right versus the left regarding the tefillin shel yad next to the tefillin shel rosh is less relevant than always being consistent and knowing where to find them. Additionally, the plastics that the covers that we put on each one should be specific for each one. Siv Gimel. Minhag Chachamim Lenashek HaTefillin Be'et B'Shat HaNichat V'Shat Chalitzatan. The Minhag of Chachamim doesn't seem to be a din, it just needs to be a beautiful Minhag to kiss the tefillin when we take them out and when we put them away. Mishnah Berurah points out when we're putting them away, we should be careful not to wrap the straps on top of the bottom, because the bottom have more kedusha than the straps. Also, quoting the Gemara in Shabbos, that the Gemara compares tefillin to kanfei yona, that they're similar to the wings of a bird, that one of the Chachamim was once caught holding tefillin, and the government at the time was forbidding that, and they asked him, what do you have in your hand? And he said he has kanfei yona, wings of a bird, and today his tefillin turned into kanfei yona. To remember that next, we wrap the straps around the sides of the tefillin to resemble kanfei yona. Moving on to Siv Kaf Tes. We do not make any bracha when we remove tefillin, even when we remove them on Friday right before Shabbos. This is in opposition to the Gemara in Nida, which says that the Bnei Ma'arav in Eretz Yisrael, they used to make a bracha lishmar chukav when they remove the tefillin. This is because it's based on the pasuk in Parashas Bo. They learn from that yamim velo leilos, that midaraisa, you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night, and since you're not allowed to wear tefillin at midaraisa, when you remove them, you're fulfilling a mitzvah of not wearing tefillin at night. We, however, assume that laila is technically zman tefillin, but practically speaking, midrabanan, there's a gzera not to wear tefillin at night. Shema yisha mehem, that you might fall asleep. Since there is no mitzvah to do so, to remove them, we do not make a bracha. We do though paskin that Shabbos and Yom Tov are lav zman tefillin, so why not erev Shabbos right before Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that because technically speaking, if a person put on tefillin on Shabbos, shelo l'shei mitzvah, that would be perfectly fine midaraisa, so it would only be forbidden midrabanan. And since there is technically you can get around wearing it, we do not make a bracha. Moving on to Simon Lamed, Zman HaNachasim, when should they be put on? So Alav Zman HaNachasim Beboker Mishir Chaver Harogel Imo Ktsas Berichu Gdal Damos V'Yakirenu. It starts from the time that we call Misha Yakir, when you see a friend who you can recognize, someone who you're somewhat friendly with, at a distance of 4 amos, and you recognize him. And Mishnah Berurah points out that if you're too friendly, then you'll recognize him from farther. If you don't, you're not so friendly, you won't even recognize him from really close up. And so that's the shear. Sif Beis, also not allowed to put on tefillin at night. Because you might forget that you have him on and fall asleep. That's Xerid Rabbanan. But again, we assume that Laila is Zman Tefillin. We're just concerned that you might fall asleep. So Im Hinicham Kodim Shadiskacham Vichashchalav, if you put that Tefillin on before sunset and then sunset, if you can keep wearing it throughout the night, that would technically be fine. But we don't instruct people to do so because somebody might see that it would be a problem until you want to go to sleep, then you clearly have to remove them. But we're concerned, although you put them on beheter, that someone may think that you put them on now, and now at nighttime is this man tefillin. But if he was still wearing the tefillin, not because he wanted to keep wearing it, he just had nowhere to put them. So we tell them that the safest place to be is on your arm and on your head. So if that's the case, that he's wearing them to be protecting them, so that would be fine. So they shouldn't be taken off. Mishnah points out, but to put them on specifically, so to protect them, that is a machlokas haposk. Person wakes up before the Zman of Misha Yakir and he needs to run, he needs to leave, so he can put on his tefillin right now, and when he gets when it's time, when the Zman of Misha Yakir comes, he should touch them, move them around a little bit, and at that point make the bracha. Then the Mishnah points out it doesn't have to be just before Misha Yakir, it can be before Alos HaShachar. That's not a problem. It's still nighttime and shouldn't the Gzeira Midrabanan of not wearing tefillin at night still apply because it's the nighttime? So he says no, because you woke up in the morning, you're seemingly not concerned that you're going to go back to sleep. You woke up in the morning to start off your day, so there is no concern. Mishnah Berurah points out we don't make a bracha on that because you don't want to say v'tzivanu before this one, but you can still have in mind that you're wearing them l'shem mitzvah. Some of the discussion, what happens if you're seated, you're not walking to a place, you're seated in an agala or in the wagon or something like that, maybe you are concerned you might fall asleep and that might be a problem. If you're walking, you're on your way, and you're wearing your tefillin, and all of a sudden the sun sets, Mishnah points out, and now you can't carry them because you're afraid they're going to fall. So there is some issue that we're concerned that should you wear them, what will people think? You're walking and you're going along. So, or the Shulchan Aruch continues, Yosef Beit HaMedrash with tefillin b'rosho b'kiddush shel havayom, or it's also, and he points out that this is now already, this might be talking about Shabbos, and now it's late, and you have to get home. So yaniach yado aleim ad she'yegi l'bayis, you can continue wearing them, but you should cover them so that people don't see them. Technically speaking, it's not a problem, but you should cover them so people don't think that now is the zman of tefillin. V'miyesh bayis karav l'chomash mishtamrim sham chotzo v'nicham sham, if it's on Erev Shabbos, and once you get into the city, and there is a place to keep them as like the closest entrance to the city, you should leave them there if it's safe, and not continue to wear them because of the Xerid Rabbanan. That if a person davened Marav early before Shkias Achama, after Plaga Mincha, but before Shkias Achama, he should not put on tefillin at that point because he already said, well, effectively, this is the nighttime. If he was putting on tefillin, he's effectively saying, this is the daytime, and it's a tardy disaster. It's contradictory. The Mishnah Berurah points out, but if he hasn't put on tefillin at all that day, then he's certainly still mechuyif to put on tefillin. Since technically it's daytime, he should put on tefillin, but he should not make a bracha. But it's inappropriate for someone who put on tefillin already to decide all of a sudden that now is a good time to put on tefillin once again. Simin Lamed Aleph. B'Shabbos v'Yom Tov Aser Laniach Tefillin P'nei She'im Atzvam Ot V'Yim Nichim Behem Ot Achayar Hayat Zilzul La'ot Shalahem. Shabbos and Yom Tov are forbidden from putting on tefillin because Shabbos and Yom Tov are considered an oath, a sign between B'nai Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as our tefillin. And if you put tefillin on as an oath, so then you're effectively showing that the oath of Shabbos or Yontif is not as important. Mishnah Berurah points out the same certainly applies to Yom Tov Sheni. There's a big debate whether tefillin are muktzah. He says that you can move them litzarach gufo makomo, for whatever, if you need the tefillin to use for some productive purpose, or if you need the space that they are in, it could be a problem. He also points out that if you do put on tefillin, not only could it be a zilzul, a denigration of the importance of Yom Tov and Shabbos as an oath, but it can also be a problem of baltos if hanging on to the mitzvos. If the chalamoy gam ken aser laniach tefillin hatam as a be'atzmo shimei chalamoy gam hen oath. So the Shulchan Aruch says that chalamoy is the same status of an oath as Shabbos and Yom Tov. Mishnah Berurah says on Pesach there's a mitzvah of matzah, on Sukkot there's a mitzvah of sukkah, and therefore it continues. And therefore the oath of the Yom Tov continues throughout chalamoy. The Rama points out, however, Hagavi Yishomer Shachol Amoid Chayav Tefillin. There are those who say Shachol Amoid, a person should wear tefillin. He right continues with Chinagim Chol Gilot Elu. Rama says this is the practice in all of his areas in Poland and around. To make a bracha on them. There's some compromise that you don't make the bracha out loud. You make them somewhat more quietly. He points out, the Mishnah Berurah points out that tefillin should be removed before halal, after chazaras hashatz, but before halal on Chol HaMoed. There are those who, on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, since the Kriyas HaTorah is Kadesh Li, they wear the tefillin at that point through Kadesh Li. It's the only time they wear it through halal and through Kriyas HaTorah. He points out, since there's somewhat of machlokas about whether tefillin should be worn or not, he points out the Gemara thinks that certainly they should not be worn. There is no source whatsoever to say that they should be worn. Therefore, safek daraisa v'chumra, when they may be perhaps when it comes to the bracha, and therefore a bracha isn't made. The Be'er Heitav quotes the Taz that he says he doesn't understand what the difference is if you make the bracha out loud or make the bracha quietly, and there are different minhagim. What is done, the Mishnah Berurah also points out that those who wear Rabbi Yotam tefillin do not do son Chol HaMoed. He also writes that it's not inappropriate for in one shul to have some people who put on tefillin and some people not putting on tefillin. Each shul deals with this problem in different ways, given that Ashkenazim generally have different practices. The Sephardi practice is universally, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. I'm moving on to Sif Simin Lamed Beis. Mitzvah tefillin sheikh of Arba Parsio Shein Kadosh Kol Bechor Ad Lamoada. The second is Vayake V'yecha Ad Ki Bechoz Yadetzian Hashem Mitzrayim. The third is Parshat Shema Ad Visharecha, and the fourth is Parshat Vayam Shemoa Ad Haratzis of the four Parshios of the Tefillin. Mr. Berurah points out the Dalet of Shema should be the size of four Dalets. He's going to get more into the detail later about the letters, but the Dalet of Shema in Echad, the Dalet in Echad is larger than any of the other letters. The Rama continues with Sarich Lechadvam Baseder Hazeh. They have to be written in this order. Lichtov Tchila HaKodem Es BaTorah. You have to write them in the order that they are written in the Torah. First Kaddish Li, then Vayakev Yecha, then Shema, then Vayayim Shema. Regardless of whether you're writing Tefillin Shel Rosh, which are on four separate Klafim, or on Tefillin Shel Yad, which is on one, they have to be written in that order, the Mishnah Berurah writes. But if you wrote them out of order, in theory, as long as you have one that you wrote earlier, you can play games with this to make sure that they are at least written in the order that they appear in the Torah. The same we'll see is true of Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, who switches Shema and Vayayim Shemoa such that it's Kadesh Li Vayakev Vayecha Vayayim Shemoa and then Shema, nonetheless, he's aware that Vayayim Shemoa is written in the Torah after Shema, and therefore when you write that on the Tefillin Sheliyad, you write Kadesh Li Vayakev Vayecha, you have to leave a blank space, write Shema, and then go back to write Vayayim Shemoa, so it should be the third Parshia, but written fourth. Avim Shin Apostle, if you do it out of order, the Rama points out these Tefillin are Apostle. The Rama continues, Ulechatchila Yichtov Sheliyad Kodem Shel Rosh. The Shalyad comes before the Shalrosh, because it appears first in the Pasuk. Although he points out that some disagree, they say, no, the Shalrosh has more Kedusha, and therefore it should go first. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the practice is to do the Shalyad first. He also quotes from the Arizal that ideally they should be written all at the same time. The Shari Tshuva has a whole discussion, well, what if you can't do all at the same time, then at least the first three, and then the fourth. If you can't do all the first three, then first, certainly the first two should be written in one sitting. The Shari Tshuva also points out in the Hakadamah to the Siman, it's somewhat important. He says, the way that the letters look, and we'll see that the rest of the Siman does talk about how the letters look, it says, Ro'i l'sofer mirai Hashem she'ilmedu otam ish mipi ish. You need to have a Masora on this. You have to be instructed by a person, by a sofer who knows this. Not like people who just learn it from Sfarim. You have to actually misora and be taught these things. It's not something that a person can pick up on their own. And then he says, if you don't have such a misora, certainly kavanos, alpi kabbalah, a person should not try to accomplish on their own without having a valid misora on this. Continuing with Siv Beis, Shalrosh Yichtov Kolachat Beklaf Levada. The Shalrosh has to be written on four separate klafim. The Shalyad Kod from Kulam Beklaf Echad. The Shalyad is written on one long piece of klaf. As Shabur points out, in four separate columns, but on one long piece of klaf. Gimel is about the details of how do you make the dio. So Yichtavim B'dio Shachar, it has to be black. On the way, Halacha points out that it doesn't have to be black, so long as, based on the Rambam, so long as it's a permanent type of a color. Ben Sheyesh Bo Me'afatzim, Ben Shelo Bo Me'afatzim, whether it has this ingredient of Me'afatzim or it doesn't have this ingredient of Me'afatzim, it's not, it seems to be, and the Be'er Halacha points out, there doesn't seem to be any requirement min haTorah, what should actually go into this, other than that it may have to be all kosher ingredients. But the precise formulation of the D.O. doesn't seem to be something that we are very makbid on, although the Shulchan Aruch here and the Rama have a back and forth about exactly what's happening here. So the Rama adds, there should be some component of me'afatzim involved, whether it's from asham eitzim, which talks about Hilchos Sefer Torah. Mishnah points out that doesn't seem to be the practice. The practice is that they do all sorts of mixtures of all sorts of things, and it doesn't have me'afatzim. And they point out that even if you follow the Rama's recipe, so then you have a problem, because the letters will not last for very long. So the Rama, the Mishnah Berurah points out that l'chatchila you have to have ketav sheyuchal lehimachek. It has to be a writing that isn't completely permanent, that cannot be erased. It has to be writing that can be erased. It's just not going to be erased very easily. And trying to find that balance seems to be the issue at hand here. And the recipe that Mishnah Berurah writes, we have a practice what the recipe is. We have a minhag. It seems to be working. It's a permanent type of an ink. It's not too permanent. It's not too it's not too temporary, and therefore that's sufficient. The Shulchan Aruch continues, katav afilo ot achad v'sharmi nitzivonu v'bezahav arelo pesulim. You write in other colors, or you write in gold even. That's possible. It has to be D.O. Im zarak afrod zaval otiot. If you threw gold dust on the letters in order to enhance their beauty, that is possible because it's not D.O. So he writes, ma'avir azav v'sharak tava tachtim v'kasher. So you have to remove, you have to scratch off or remove the gold dust on it, and you have the ketav hatachton, that the black, which is still there, which is kosher. But he points out, "Aval imzar kazav al ot as karot in lo takana." If you covered one of the shemos Hashem with gold, now you have a problem, because with the gold, it's possible because it's not considered to be writing. However, you have another problem. The usher lahavir azav mishum to have a kim mochik es Hashem. When you remove the gold, it says, if you are erasing the Shem Hashem, it's not exactly erasing Shem Hashem, the Be'er Halacha points out, because in the end of the day, the black is still there underneath. But since you're erasing part of what appears to be the Shem Hashem, that is a problem, and therefore this would be an unavoidable problem, and the tefillin should be problematic because of that. Have a wonderful day, and kol tov.